Welcome to Journey of the Monkey King, a chapter by chapter discussion of Journey to the West with me, Quiva, and my friend MJ.
Ooh.
So we took a short break, and going forward, we are planning on moving to a fortnightly schedule for putting these out instead of a weekly one. I think we were just struggling to keep up with a bit. There's a good bit of work that goes into putting this out, and we are busy.
We have other jobs and other work and lives and pandemic burnout. Really bad. Like, brain's going to come out my fucking ears. You know, you could just drink that up with a straw if you wanted to. It probably has zero nutritional value. But if you wanted to, that would be an option for you. Kuru would be another problem with that, right? That's how you get Kuru?
Yeah. Prion diseases. Prion diseases are generally a bad thing.
Yeah, don't get cannibal Alzheimer's.
We're off to a good start.
We're off to a great start. Do you remember earlier when I said I wanted to be more careful about what I said? And 30 seconds in, we have cannibal Alzheimer's. Okay.
I mean, cannibalism is just the standard for this novel anyway, so I think that's
there's a lot
fair
of
to
it.
Talk about.
Well, I mean, it's not really cannibalism, it's monsters eating humans, so like, I don't know how the mythical food chain thing there works, but unless it's monsters eating other monsters, is it not?
Yeah, you know? Well, that's fair. They also threaten to eat like the other pilgrims sometimes. We've also, one other thing we're changing is that I have given MJ some homework. So rather than MJ being completely blind, I've given MJ a couple references to real or mythological things outside of the novel that come up in this chapter, and they've looked into them themselves.
Trying to do better on the cultural context thing. We've made some errors, and we've been very nicely called in by people who didn't have to be nice to us, who've kind of pointed out where we've gone wrong, and we're gonna try do better, learn a bit more about the stuff around this, so we don't fuck up, and so we don't hurt people, and yeah, I just want to say thank you to the people who did reach out to say that. So did we want to, sorry, we had a chat about this before we started recording. Did we want to for me to go into what I'd researched now, or do we want to kind of see where it comes up in the story?
Yeah, I think in particular there's a couple of sacred mountains that come up. I think it'd be interesting to have the context behind those before we start.
Okay, cool. So you gave me a list of things to look up. You wanted me to look at some mountains.
Yeah.
And they are Mount Sumeru, I think. Mount Emei, I also think. E-M-E-I.
Yeah.
And Mount Tai. And two magic items. A red gourd of purple gold and a mutton jade vase. So I'm going to look at the magic items first. When I looked up the red gourd of purple gold, all I really got was Journey of the West, Tomb Raider King, and Naruto. So I'm still trying not to spoil myself on the novel. So I didn't click on that. All I've managed to gather is it is not a vegetable. It is possibly a weapon. Perhaps it is a weaponized vegetable.
Yeah.
I think you were telling me gourd is often a drinking vessel.
I think it's referenced a couple times when there's characters doing alchemy and stuff like that, like Lao Tzu's
it's a cauldron
recipes. It's or just a container even. Just
okay.
I think they used to hollow them out and you just use them as a storage vessel.
So I kind of left that aside. I possibly should have taken a look into purple gold to see if there was any sort of relevance to that.
That's come up before as well. The, like, alms bowl that Tong Taizong gave to Tripitaka is made of purple gold as well. I'm not really sure how to picture that.
It's apparently it's an alloy of gold and aluminium. It exists. It's a purple metal. I don't know if there's any cultural significance to it. So I know it's a thing. It's kind of cool. It's a metal that's purple. So that's nice.
yeah.
Whatever happens with it, we'll have to see. Mutton Fat Jade Vase. Mutton Fat Jade is white jade. It looks like rendered fat, and actually has a texture, a sort of luster to it that apparently geologists do describe as greasy. So there you go.
A greasy stone.
Yeah, so it's white jade, basically. And it was considered the most valuable type of jade. The emperor would use jade tablets to communicate with supernatural forces, kind of right on that. The character for jade is very close to the character for emperor, ruler, or leader. So that's cool. Both the Vatican and the British Museum have nicked a fuck ton of mutton fat jade. Like, serious. Well, the Vatican say they acquired it, quote unquote. But like, let's be fair. It's probably nicked. You know, feed the poor, sure. The British Museum, of course, is the largest collection of stolen artifacts in the world. So that's not very much of a surprise. But it's still pretty valuable. Like, lesser pieces, more compromised pieces, sell for like $3,000. But it can be priceless, depending on the era it was made in and quality of the jade. So in the Ming Dynasty, if someone gave you a mutton fat jade vase, that's a big fucking deal, basically. Yeah. And so, mountains. Did you notice how I didn't go to the mountains first, Quiva?
I did.
Yes. There are...
Saving the best for last.
There are various subsets of sacred mountains. It gets a little bit confusing. There's 5 sacred mountains of China. There's 4 sacred mountains of Buddhism. There's overlap in that Venn diagram, I think, but it's been, I'll just go into the ones you gave me. So Mount Simaru, or also known as Meru, which would have been an easier thing for me to pronounce. It's a sacred 5-peaked mountain. It's sacred in Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, and it's known as the center of all physical, metaphysical, and spiritual universes. This gets even more complicated if you go into Taoism, where there's different types of universes. I don't know. But it's the template for a lot of temples. It's got 4 faces, one of gold, one of crystal or silver, one of lapis lazuli, and one of ruby. So it's kind of a miracle the British Museum didn't nick that as well. I mean, if anyone would try to steal a mountain, it's the Tans. Let's be honest. The fucking Sassanid, if anyone out there was going to try and steal a mountain, it would be them. So, you know. Anyway, so it's sacred. Lots of the home of some gods and spirits. possibly based off a real mountain in the Himalayas, Sumeru Prabhat, and is the Jade Emperor's gaff. Apparently, he lives in the center. So. Mount Tai,
pretty important place, all in all.
Mount Tai is one of the 5 sacred mountains in China. Important place, a lot of gods. A lot of gods. There's also the Jade Emperor Temple is up there, apparently. And the last one, Mount Emei, the highest of the 4 sacred mountains of Buddhism, the home of the Bodhisattva Samatrabhadra, I think I got that right, and the location of the first Buddhist monastery in China.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's fun. Yep. And possibly a lot of martial arts stuff going on there as well.
Okay, that's cool. So yeah, those mountains are going to come up in this chapter. And as well, what will be coming up in this chapter is, more mentions of cannibalism.
Yeah, we had a discussion about this though, and I do want to bring this up. Is it cannibalism if it's a monster eating a human?
I'm going to keep referring to it as cannibalism because I don't want to have to start referring to it as like human eating or anything like that.
That's true. Human eating does sound clunky. I mean, can we
Also just
conceptualize the.
worse. Like I don't want to like it's just like I don't know, more gory image in my head when I say that.
Can we conceptualize cannibalism of the eating of one sentient language using creature? No, because then like you gotta go into the horrible things around like language use. Like what is that? What is even is that communicating? And like are you know yeah, there was a whole thing in the UK about animals, the Tories not marking animals as sentient, and obviously they're like creatures with thought. Yeah, you're right. It's cannibalism, I guess.
I feel like saying cannibalism is like, this is intended to be as a warning for people who might be squeamish or whatever. So it's not intended to be a
People get eaten here. People get eaten. There's
peep.
discussions of people being eaten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the important part.
This is now the Long Pig podcast.
But there's got to be a bit of fighting and a bit of blood. Let's just carry on into the chapter. So, when we last left off, Zhu Baji was captured by the Silverhorn Demon, and he drags him back to the Loseflower Cave to his brother, the Goldenhorn Demon. And Goldenhorn tells his brother that he caught the wrong monk. This one is useless. He's no good. But I guess he is part of the Tong Monk's party, so let's throw him out in the pool out back, and we'll soak him for a while till his bristles fall out and his hide starts peeling, and then we can pickle him and sun dry him and save him to eat on a rainy day.
It's a sensible way to do it.
Yeah. So Tripitaka is getting a bit worried that Baji hasn't come back yet, and Wukong says not to worry. He says, if Baji ran into any monsters, he'd have already ran back. So the way ahead must be clear. He's just gone ahead by himself. But he's pretty slow and lazy. We can catch up with him easily enough. Let's just head on after him. So they all pack up and hit the road and try and find Baji. So meanwhile, Silverhorn has gone back out to look for the rest of the monks, and he took 50 minions with him. And they quickly spot auspicious clouds and luminous ether circling in the air above Tripitaka, which leads them straight to him. So this is the kind of
Oh,
thing
Jesus.
that's kind of mentioned a lot that I think I've glossed over for the most part, which is this kind of it's usually right. I think this is the first time they talk about it around Tripitaka, but usually it's around gods and that about and sacred places. These kind of colorful auspicious clouds. And colorful mists, I think, is another term that gets used a good bit, that kind of circle these holy people and holy places. So all the imps that Silverhorn brought with him can't see Tripitaka through the clouds, and Silverhorn tries to point him out, and they still can't see him, and he keeps pointing at Tripitaka over and over again. And every time the demon points at him, it causes a shiver to run down his spine. But he doesn't know what's causing it, and he asks Wukong and Wujing what they think is happening. So Xia Wujing thinks maybe he just has an upset stomach, and Wukong thinks he's just scared of riding along these cliffs. And he decides to put on a show to calm Tripitaka down. So he pulls out his rod and he starts doing sequences of drills as he walks forward in the lead, just kind of showing off. And the narration notes that he has perfect form, and it's like something right out of a martial arts manual. So Silverhorn is watching, and he finds this show very intimidating. And he actually falls over in fear. He's been hearing stories about Pilgrim Sun for a couple of years now, because news of this pilgrimage is spreading around the monster world a lot. And he thinks that this Pilgrim Sun is just as capable as everyone's been saying. And he doesn't think he'll be able to take him on. Minion suggests just going back to the cave and getting reinforcements, but Silverhorn is convinced that Wukong could take on tens of thousands of them and win. Which, he's definitely correct about that, but it seems like a bit of a wild conclusion to me to draw just from seeing someone doing martial arts drills.
If he's heard the stories.
Yeah.
You know, he's not wrong.
He is not wrong.
He's absolutely not wrong. And you just know, like, you know how rumors snowball. And, you know, fucking... This guy's extra enough as it is. Imagine, you know, how many bells and whistles get added on after a few goes around the Heavenly Court, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he literally almost, like, tried to kill the Jade Emperor himself, so... It's hard to exaggerate further.
Yeah, I mean, the guy nearly took out literal God. You know, he strolled down to the underworld and asked to speak to the manager.
And he's like, and over the last couple of years, he's on this pilgrimage. He's just been killing demons left, right, and center.
Yeah, that stuff gets around. I'd also, you know, find the time to take a very convenient smoke break rather than deal with them.
Well, so Silverhorn still wants to deal with him, but instead of just attacking, he shapeshifts into the form of an old Taoist with a broken leg, and he sits on the side of the road calling for help. And when Tripitaka sees him, he tells Tripitaka a story about how he was traveling with a disciple last night when a tiger suddenly ambushed them and dragged his disciple away. And he tried to run, but he tripped and broke his leg. So Tripitaka offers to let him ride the horse, but the demon says he can't ride with the state his thigh is in. So instead, Tripitaka asks Xiao Wujing to carry him, but he pretends to be terrified of Wujing. So finally, Tripitaka asks Wukong to carry him instead, and Wukong agrees. And the monster's happy with that, because that's what he was planning all along. He wanted to kind of get close to Wukong. So Xiao Wujing laughs at this, and he warns him that he really doesn't want Wukong to be the one carrying him. He says as soon as he's out of our master's sights, he's just going to smash you against a rock or something.
Yeah.
Wukong agrees to carry this old man, and he picks up the demon and he carries him onto his back, and then whispers to him, "Do you really think you can fool me?"
And Silverhorn fucking shits himself, or
he tries to pretend like, "Oh no, I'm just an old Taoist from a good family. I just ran into a tiger. I'm innocent." And Wukong tells him, "All right, recite some Taoist scriptures then." Tripitaka overhears this, and he shouts at Wukong for bothering the man instead of just carrying him. And so Wukong leaves it go for the minute. And Wukong tells the demon that he's lucky that Tripitaka cares more about external appearances than inward excellence. And he agrees to carry him, but he says, I'm have to make one thing clear. If you need to piss or shit, tell me first. There's no one around here to properly wash and starch my clothes if you ruin them. That's his only concern. I mean, in fairness, he's not, like, actually worried that the demon might hurt him. Because he's fucking Sun Wukong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
Sun Wu fucking Kong.
Yeah. They head out on the road, and Wukong is a bit awkward carrying this man on his back. And he starts to fall behind the other two. And 4 or 5 miles in, Tripitaka and Xiao Wujing turn around a corner and disappear out of sight behind a fold of the mountain. And Wukong is getting a bit fed up at this point, and he decides, fuck it, I'll just kill the demon. Even if he wasn't a demon, he's an old man. He's already lived a very long time anyway. It'll be grand. And he decides to just pick him up and smash him against the ground and kill him. He has learned very little.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But just as he's about to try that, the monster uses the magic of moving mountains and pouring out oceans. You looked up Mount Sumeru and all how big and important and amazing that is.
Yep.
So what this spell does is it summons that mountain, picks it up, and drops it on Pilgrim's head.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, technically the Brits could have stolen it. Is what you're trying to tell me?
I think Silverhorn works for the British Museum. I think is what we're going for here.
Possibly.
Wukong is able to move his head aside fast enough to catch it on his shoulder and just keep walking. I almost feel bad for you that you put into like this genuine effort to research this mountain.
Yeah, I was wondering, what's going on? It's like, oh, the Jade Emperor lives there. I wonder what shenanigans are going to happen. It's like, we're just going to fucking drop it on the guy's head.
So Wukong just laughs.
Just popping in with a mountain.
Yeah.
It's making a mountain out of a molehill, certainly.
Yeah, well, Wukong just laughs, and he says it's rather difficult to carry a lopsided load like this. So the demon obliges him and casts the spell again and dumps Mount Emi on Wukong's other shoulder.
Oh, God.
Wukong tries to pick up speed to catch up with Tripitaka rather than, like, doing anything about these mountains that he is now carrying on his shoulders. And Silverhorn is starting to get a bit scared about this monkey.
Yeah. No.
He recites the spell again and drops one more mountain, Mount Tai. And having run out of shoulders, it lands straight on Wukong's head, causing blood to explode out his eyes, nose, mouth, and ears, and pinning him in place. So, we found a way to stop Wukong. You just need to dump three gigantic mountains directly on his head.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. Is he under the mountain again? Is this similar to what happened when he was imprisoned in that what you call it, Quiva?
The Mountain of the Five Phases.
In? Yeah, what he was imprisoned in under the Mountain of the Five Phases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he does in a minute compare it directly to that as well.
Yeah, so that thing, what was that thing he was imprisoned in under the Mountain of the Five Phases? That thing?
I know you're trying to set up for a joke here, but
I was trying to make you say brazier again. That was all I was trying to do.
Oh, that was a separate incident. The brazier was a separate incident.
Oh right, I forgot.
That happened before the mountain.
Okay, yeah. Mountain of the Five Faces. So is this the same mountain? Because this, Samara is like a five-peaked one, right?
Oh, that's a interesting point. It might have been in reference to that, but I think if it was meant to be the same mountain, it would have been like called that explicitly. But it was, it had two names. It was the Mountain of the Five Phases or the Mountain of the Two Frontiers. I don't think it was called anything else. But it might the Mount Sumeru or Meru having five peaks might have been an answer to that, but it's also because it was formed out of Buddha's hand. So the five he turns his five fingers into the five phases, which is five phases like the five elements, water, fire, metal, it's water, fire, metal, earth, and wood. And then those form into the Mountain of the Five Phases and pin Wukong down.
That's one way to stop him.
Yeah, mountains. Mountains is how you stop Wukong. So with Wukong successfully pinned down, Silverhorn jumps down and goes after Tripitaka. Wu Jing tries to fight him off, but Silverhorn scoops him up in his left arm, Tripitaka in his right arm. He hooks his feet around the luggage and he picks up the horse by its mane in his mouth, and flies them all off to the Lotus Flower Cave in a gust of wind. So Goldenhorn is ecstatic at first that they have the Tong Monk, but he's worried that Pilgrim Sun isn't going to be happy about them eating his master if they don't capture him too. He's worried about him still being out there, but Silverhorn tells him Wukong turned out not to be such a big deal. You know, I already have him pinned down. He's stuck under three mountains. He can't move. It's fine. So they hang Baji, Wu Jing, and Tripitaka up in the cave, put the horse in a stable, and they send out two imps, Sly Devil and Wily Worm, with two magic treasures to deal with Wukong. So the two treasures are the red gourd of purple jade and the pure mutton jade vase that I mentioned to you before.
Okay, and the gourd is not a vegetable. We know this.
But the two treasures work the same way. You hold it upside down and call someone's name. And if they respond, they'll be sucked into it. And then once they're trapped, you can seal it with a tape bearing the words, "May Laozi act quickly according to this command." And once they're trapped inside, they will be melted into pus within 1 3/4 hours.
So that's like less cannibalism and more fermenting. Is that?
Yeah.
Can you make alcohol out of a human?
I guess if there is enough sugar content in the human
Yeah.
body.
So yeah, that's very much beside the point. That is disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
Does tie nicely in with the liquefied brains earlier. But okay, you. So then you just like poured out into the desert Heisenberg style.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you, I don't think they really say what they plan to do with him after that. Probably just, yeah, get rid of the
Well, I
mess.
mean, I imagine you'd want to get it out of the priceless fucking mutton jade vase. I mean, it's worth an awful lot.
Yeah,
Just you want to wash that out thoroughly.
I'm sure it cleans fine.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I mean, it's got a very lustrous surface, you know this. So,
Yeah.
yeah. Would it stain though?
I've no idea.
Okay.
There is a footnote that the little inscription, "May Laozi act quickly according to this command." These words are frequently used in Taoist rituals. In Taoist rituals of exorcism and healing, they are also written in various charms and incantations. But I think you said you weren't able to really find any mention of those outside of references to this translation. So it's probably if there's any like English language references or documentation of this, it's possibly translated differently.
Probably translated in a different way. Yeah, I mean, I tried a couple of variations, but all I was getting was Journey to the West.
Yeah. So meanwhile, back under the Three Mountains, Wukong is crying loudly about his predicament. So loudly that the local spirit, the resident mountain god, the guardians of the Five Quarters, and the golden-headed guardian all show up to see what's going on. They all bump into each other on the way, and the golden-headed guardian asks the two local spirits if they know exactly who it is that they have pinned under those mountains, and they do not.
Oh no.
So the guardian explains that that's the great sage equal to heaven, and if he ever gets out, he is going to kill you for this. And even if he doesn't, you're going to be fucking demoted for it.
Love the thread of demotion there. It's amazing.
Yeah. So the mountain god says he didn't know about any of this. He just heard the spells for moving mountains being recited, and he did his job, and he moved the mountains.
Yeah, he's just following orders.
So the guardian tells him that the law says the ignorant will not be held culpable, which I just find interesting, just because ignorance is explicitly not a defense as a general rule in Western legal systems. Ignorantia juris non excusat. So the guardians and the two local spirits go to Wukong to free him together. And the spirits ask for a pardon from Wukong for dropping the mountain on him before they free him, and he promises not to hit them. So once freed, he immediately reneges on that, and he tells them to bend over so he can give them a beating. And they tell him they had no choice but to go along with the monsters after they recited the spells. And Wukong shouts to heaven, declaring that even with all his power and all the disturbances he caused in heaven, he was never so insolent as to order a mountain god or local spirit around, which is not true at all. He has on
Oh
a
yeah,
couple
like
of
many,
occasions.
many occasions. Constantly.
It's how he killed the Lady Whitebone, is he got them to like stop her from fleeing.
I feel like, and everywhere he goes, he just gives orders. Like, it doesn't matter what the situation or the context is. He's a one monkey Bavarian fire drill. You know, he's it's sort of his default state as a almost said a human being there, but as a monkey monster. His default state as a hyper murder monkey.
He is referred to as a human sometimes, or referred to as having achieved human form and this kind of thing.
Well, it's his default state as a being is giving orders and bossing around and just striding about like he owns the place, which can make him both in extremely entertaining and entirely insufferable.
But he ends this little speech by shouting, "Oh heaven, if you had given birth to old monkey, why did you give birth to these creatures also?" Which is, according to the footnotes, it's a parody of the last words of Zhao Yu in The Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
Huh, okay.
Wukong presses the spirits for information on the demons, and he learns that they are Quan Zhen Taoists, and he decides to leave the spirits off the hook, having been a little useful to him, and he shapeshifts into the appearance of an old Taoist, and he starts heading towards the Lotus Flower Cave. So he sees Wily Worm and Sly Devil on the road, and he uses his rod to trip one of them before they spot him. Because he just can't resist constantly playing pranks on people. He is a
He's
monkey.
just being a troll. He's living that troll life.
So Wukong claims to be an old immortal looking to spread enlightenment, and he asks where Wily Worm and Sly Devil are from and where they're going. And they explain to him that they're going to capture a pilgrim son. And Wukong says back, "Oh, is that the pilgrim son who's following the Tong monk?" And they say, "Oh, exactly, you know him too." He says, "Oh, that monkey is rather rude. Oh, I know him all right. I'm a little mad at him. I'll help you get him."
Rather rude, but so handsome. The
Dashen.
handsome Monkey King.
And
Yeah.
they say, "Oh, we don't need any help. We have these magical treasures to capture him." And Wukong goads them into explaining how the gourd and the vase work, and to hand them over to have a look.
Yeah, this one turns you into a smoothie.
So Wukong does think of just running off with them, but he's concerned just resorting to petty robbery will make him look bad and kind of tarnish his reputation. So he decides to trick them instead. So he plucks a hair from his tail and turns it into a huge red purple jade gourd, or sorry, jade, into a huge red gourd of purple gold, 17 inches tall. And he tells them it's not only capable of capturing people like their ones, it can capture and contain heaven itself.
Oh, wow.
They don't believe him. They ask for a demonstration, but he talks them into making a deal. If it's true and he can demonstrate capturing heaven in this thing itself, they will trade their two Pokeballs for his one. So Wukong makes a magic sign and recites a spell that calls the God of the Day Patrol, the God of the Night Patrol, and the Guardians of the Five Quarters. These are, you know, some of the gods who were sent to look after Tripitaka. And he tells them to go to the Jade Emperor and tell him that Tripitaka is in trouble. And in order to help him, Wukong would like to beseech His Majesty with due reverence to let Old Monkey borrow heaven for half an hour to be stored up.
Okay.
And if he says no, I will go up there myself and start a war.
That's revealing.
He does go. I love the like, A, just the bit of him being like as saying it really respectfully, really respectfully, with all due reverence, please, I beseech you, let me borrow heaven. A, which is just a thing to say,
Yeah,
and B, after like.
I'm just gonna borrow the universe for a sec. Is that all right? It's okay. Like I'm gonna bring it back with a full tank of petrol. Yeah.
And B, he like again like make sure to be respectful and say and to I beseech His Majesty and all this, and then just says afterwards, and if you don't, I will come and kill you.
If you don't, I'm gonna go up and punch fucking God, is what I'm gonna do.
So the Jade Emperor
Okay.
isn't exactly happy with this request. Like
Yeah, no shit.
he wants to borrow heaven to put it in a gourd. What the fuck does that even mean? How would you do that?
What happens if you drop it? What happens if you lose it? What happens if you get it in water? What happens if you drop it in a lake? What happens if you drop a gourd containing heaven in a lake? You know, what do you do? Do you just take it out and put it in some rice and
What does
hope
that even
everything's okay?
even mean cosmologically? What? How do you even borrow heaven? It's not a request that makes sense in the first place.
There has to be something around this that we're not getting.
So Prince
And
Nata has a suggestion. So he has shown up before. He first showed up in Chapter 4. He's Li Jing's son. He was part of the party that was the first attempt to capture Wukong. And he suggests that they can unfurl a huge black banner from the South Heaven Gate, blocking out the entire sky, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And it will give the impression that heaven has been captured. And the Jade Emperor says, okay, fine, do that plan. And the Day Patrol God heads off and he tells Wukong that Prince Nata is here to help. They have a plan. Wukong tells Sly Devil and Wily Worm that he's finally ready to capture heaven in the gourd. He was just preparing himself up until now. And
I mean, it takes a while.
yeah.
You gotta charge it up. You gotta charge up first. You don't wanna go capture heaven on an empty stomach either. You
Yeah.
know, you want a good night's rest, nice cup of coffee, healthy breakfast, and then you go out and do it. Stretch first as well, probably do some yoga.
So he throws the gourd into the sky and it's carried gently by the wind. It still weighs only as much as the original piece of hair. And when Natta sees the gourd has been thrown up, he throws the black banner down and blocks out the entire sky, and the entire world goes pitch black. The two demons can't see a thing, and they are fucking terrified and beg Wukong to release heaven again. So Wukong recites another spell that signals to Nata, and he pulls back up the banner. So, demonstration over, the two fiends are delighted to make the trade. But Wukong wants it to be kind of fully legal, so he turns another hair into a penny. And he gives it to one of the imps and he tells them to go buy some paper so that they can draw up a proper contract. But they say they don't have a brush or ink to write with, and they've nowhere to get this, so they just ask to make vows instead. So they say, If we ever regret this decision, may be we stricken with plague. And Wukong says, oh, I'm never going to regret this decision. But if I do, may I likewise be stricken.
Nobody wants a plague.
So, deal done. Gourd and vase in his possession. Wukong flies up to the South Heaven Gate to thank Nata for his help before deciding what to do next. But we'll have to find out what that is in Chapter 34.
Okay, wow. So I'm very glad Sun Wukong didn't get to Joyride Heaven. That's... that's probably best for everybody.
He should probably, like, think through his boasts before... like... before, like, come up with a plan of how he's going to demonstrate this before he promises that he will put heaven in a jar.
I mean, he's great at improv. You know, if this was a situation where they were just yes-anding him, that would have really worked. Unfortunately, it was a very real thing that he promised to do.
Yeah, and he is like able to just bully the Jade Emperor himself into going along with things. So,
I'm very glad that this was a point where someone was smart enough to come in and just like. I think this is the first time, aside from, you know, his capture and his disgrace and all the rest, but this is the first time in a long time that we've had someone just straight up tell this guy, no. It's just like, no, you can't. What the fuck, man? Go home. No, like they did. He was insistent. They did have to compromise with him, but I'm very glad someone told him no.
I mean, not just no, but it's like, what you're asking doesn't even make sense.
I mean, it is, in that sense, it really is kind of Sun Wukong a bit again, isn't it? You know, all these angry middle-aged ladies who come and make demands of you that you just cannot do. No, there isn't a secret universe in the back where that thing that you're looking for resides. No, you cannot put a universe into a gourd. No, there isn't a universe in a gourd in the back which contains that thing that we're out of. It, you know.
So, I don't know, we got all our footnotes out of the way at the start instead of the end. I feel kind of bad for it, but I did kind of want to ask you to do that first, because...
Because all that's going to happen is it's just going to fall on the fucker.
Yeah, because it was just going to be so anticlimactic.
Yeah. This is because I couldn't record on Sunday, isn't it?
No, it's fine. I think
passive aggressive bullshit.
I think it does lend some cultural context as well to like the understanding of the novel, of not just to go in beforehand knowing that what these mountains are, in it's not just this monster dropped a mountain on Wukong's head. This monster,
I mean, it wasn't just any mountain.
Yeah, dropped the center.
It was
center,
a very important mountain. The center of the universe was dropped on top of this guy's head.
Exactly.
And he was fine.
And he was, and it didn't bother him until there was two more lumped on as well. Like I said, we are going to be moving this for the time being to a fortnightly release rather than a weekly. So you will get the next episode 2 weeks after this one. And follow us on Twitter and all that. There'll be links in the show notes. The podcast itself has a Twitter account, Monkey King Pod. And you can find me at Oak Reef, where... you will mostly, at the moment, see me talking about fucking Sonic the Hedgehog, if that's what you're into. I kind of feel bad for anyone who like follows my Twitter listening to this like work about a very culturally important Chinese novel and then see what I actually fucking use Twitter for.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Taishuk O Trash. It's pronounced, it's spelled Taishuk. It's in the show notes. It's an Irish. It's just read it in the fucking show notes. And there, mostly I've just been tweeting about how much I want a hug.
That's fair. I think that's a position a lot of us are in.
And also why there's no sapphic version of Grindr, even though we've all been complaining about it for very many years. Yeah, that's about it. That's all I got. We're in a whole panna cotta, my creative output. It's not what it used to be. Oh, also, a lot about lately about how I hate Elon Musk. I've branched into that. So that's... Maybe I need a Twitter break. I think I need a Twitter break.
I think the world needs a Twitter break.
Yeah. Like, definitely a news break.
Yeah. No one should use Twitter. It's a terrible website. Please follow us, Monkey King Pod.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.